Welcome and thank you for listening to this message from Legacy Church New Braunfels. To connect with us, go to legacynb.com. Now enjoy this message from Pastor Jay Miller.
Now, if you have your Bibles with you, I want you to open up to a couple passages of Scripture. First one I want you to open to is Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19, and put a marker there. We'll get to there in a second. Acts chapter 19, mark it. I've got so many. Let's see which one I want you to go to next. And then go over to Galatians chapter 1. And keep it open there. So really good weekend last week. In fact, I have to tell you, technology is pretty amazing. Somebody asked me one time, how's the gospel going to be preached across the planet? Technology is amazing. I was in the middle of Baffin Bay last Sunday and said, I wonder, my brother-in-law asked me, I was fishing, I said, I wonder how service is going. I said, well, let's find out. I had one bar in the middle of Baffin Bay, heard part of Cindy's message, and then I went back and caught some more fish. So it was a good time. I really enjoyed it, but I'm so grateful for Cindy. It really demonstrates what we're looking to do here. It's about equipping, empowering, and deploying people into their kingdom influence. And so this house is supposed to be a house of many fathers and mothers, and so very grateful for her. I thought the message she preached last week was spot on. There is definitely a word that's going out. A couple weeks ago, I talked to you about this aspect of how the point of encounter is transformation. And there's been many people who have had encounters with God, and then afterwards, there's no transformation in their life, and they get frustrated with God. They kind of fall away and wonder what happened. Did God forget about me? And the reason that is they didn't realize that the point of the encounter was not just to be touched by God. Much of our language a lot of times, especially in the charismatic world, is, I just want to be touched by God. Well, God can touch you anywhere. Like anytime, any place, he can reach you where you're at. The point of a touch, the point of an encounter, is to transform you. Not just so you can have an encounter, right? There's lots of people who had encounters with God, and they walked away not changed, not transformed. They went right back to the same lifestyle, the same patterns of behavior than they did before, because it was like a rock that was dipped in water. The outside of the rock got soaked in water. But how many people know that that water falls off the sideway? It doesn't actually penetrate down deep into the center of the rock, so when you crack open that rock, it's still dry and hard on the inside. God wants to change you from the inside out. The point of encounter is to take your stony heart and turn it into what? A heart of flesh, something that's movable, shapeable, breathable. A heart is what breathes, right? And I understand your lungs do, but it's the agent that actually pumps all that oxygen that's coming into your lungs, and it pushes it out to the rest of your body. It's actually what receives in the oxygen from the lungs to push it out to all your extremities. And so the Lord wants to move in you wholly, and the point of encounter is transformation. Now, one of the things I have been seeing is a lot this year, and it's not unusual when it comes especially to the National Day of Prayer, or when there's a national, or in our case, a worldwide emergency, a pandemic, what we end up doing is we end up pulling out 2 Chronicles and talking about, if my people who were called by my name, if they would just turn away from their wicked ways, repent, then I would come and heal their land. And it's absolutely true. God's promise was, when you've gone far away, or in the land it begins to look like there's a famine going on, there's a pandemic going on, if my people who are called by my name, to be called by the name of Jesus, is not to carry the title of God, it's actually to carry the image of God. What identifies you by his name is not your title, it's actually your image. Okay? So the point of encounter is to transform you what? Into his image. And then from his image, you carry his name. And we're to demonstrate his name in the planet. So I certainly believe in that. That the point is, when you see something going on, we need to bring repentance. In fact, in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, it says this: from that time on, Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent. Think differently afterwards. It's not just about, I'm going one direction and I turn around and go the opposite direction. There's actually, depends on the direction you turn back into, actually. The point of repentance is transformation. And I will tell you this, if you're not transformed, you actually didn't repent. If you didn't You don't become transformed. You actually didn't repent. You actually went through a religious process, or maybe it's a heart process, an emotional process, where you realize your need, your lack, something in there, and you go, oh my gosh, something's wrong. I can identify using discernment that something's going on in my world or something's going on in my heart, and I run to God because something wrong is going on, and I come to Him, and I have this really, this external, I begin to, God, something's wrong is going on. Right? And I get this relief because I'm downloading on God. I'm actually releasing to God, decompressing with God. I tell Him all that's going on because I'm worried and I'm concerned. And how many people know that God's okay with that? He totally loves that. But we're not supposed to stop there. The point of maturity, we're called to grow into maturity, is not just to identify bad things that are taking place and run to God and go, what are you going to do? Right? Or we're so bad and evil, we cause this. It becomes sin conscious, sin focused. Instead of going, God, you see what they're doing out there. What are you up to? Coming into this place, repentance is supposed to lead to transformation, thinking differently afterwards. You can actually repent and follow the devil. How do I know that? Adam and Eve were given a way to think. They were given an image to bear. And then Satan comes and says, did God really say? I don't think you're thinking what that means what you think it means. It's basically what Satan was saying to them. Maybe, and what did they do? They repented. They changed the way they thought. They were transformed into sin, the same nature that the devil carried. And all of a sudden they became separated, because what is sin? The wages of sin is death. It's just separation from. I like what Bob Hamp, he used to teach up at Gateway Church, but talking about when it comes to freedom, when we look in even the Hebrew, there's not a word for sin. When you go into Genesis, there's the word sin does not show up. Separation and death shows up. So we use this word sin as a fruit of the separation that we experience from God. And if you think about in Spanish, S-I-N is without, correct? Right? So what is sin? It's you're without God. You're without the image of God. You're without the thoughts of God. And so what is repentance? It's returning to Him. And the question again is, if I can repent and think like Satan, that means I need to examine every thought that comes down and not become sin conscious, but I need to begin to examine, where do I want to be transformed into? Who am I going to be transformed into? What does that look like? I then begin to look to Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of your faith. When you run this race, pushing everything aside that would actually stumble, especially the sin that might make you stumble. But instead, you have your eyes fully on Him. Repentance is supposed to lead to transformation. It's not just so you can get to the end of the race and go, whew, that was tough. No, during the race, you actually begin to bring transformation. He brings transformation in you, and it brings a transformation to the world. So often, especially in end-time teaching, and I'm really, I'll just be honest with you, I've been struggling with whether I'm supposed to teach a series on the end times. And I really don't want to, because I don't want to get, there's a rabbit hole, and you get so far into deep and stuff, but I think the Lord's telling me to do it. And the reason I think He's telling me to do it is not to counter some of the other teaching that's out there, but to really put a spot out there so we can understand the times that we live in. But let me tell you this, the whole point of what we're doing is to expand the kingdom everywhere we go. When He comes back and how He comes back, we know that's going to happen in a pretty dramatic way. Okay? But up to that point, what am I supposed to do? Do business in the Father's name. The only way I can do business in the Father's name is if I come to this place of repentance. And repentance is not a one-time situation. Repentance is an ongoing deal. Am I continuing this place of sanctification? Let me hear you say sanctification. See, Jesus justified you. Justification or justified was you were once far from Him. Jesus paid for what it was necessary to justify you back into a right relationship with God. It's not just about penal substitution. It's not just about you have this penalty because you were far away from God. And Jesus had to pay that penalty to get you out of detention. That's not all what it was about. It was about transforming you back into God's creative design. So justification, the one payment that Jesus made on the cross, was more than enough to pay what was necessary to transform you. And then from that point on, we're filled with the Holy Spirit so we can be sanctified. It's an ongoing process that's going on. It means that I'm becoming more and more and more looking like Him, thinking like Him, talking like Him. But we don't lose our free choice. We don't lose the capacity to think. And so what ends up happening in this journey is it needs a continual level of repentance. Am I thinking now like Him? Doesn't matter if I repented 5 minutes ago, right? Right now in this moment, are my thoughts like His? And the way that you do that is it's not looking like, oh, look at all those bad, evil thoughts I've got. Let me go dredge up the skeletons out of the closet that were actually buried with Christ. What you do is, Lord, I'm looking to You. You keep your eyes on Him. In 2 Corinthians, it says, as beholding Him in a mirror, you're transformed into His image from one degree of glory to the next. Okay? I look at Him. I look at what He says. I look at who He is. And that begins this process of transformation. So here's what's been rolling in my heart. So hear me on this. I believe in the power of prayer. I believe in the power of worship. I believe in the power of demonstrating His goodness into the community where we're at. Okay? I think, though, a level of what we've been seeing in our culture has caused a part of the body to wake up, and the only revelation that we had to do something about the darkness we see is that 2 Chronicles 7:14 that was written for the Jewish people at a particular time a long time ago. And yes, it can apply for us now, but we have a better covenant than they had. We have to understand that. And so what we end up doing is when all hell breaks loose, we go, oh, we must have done something wrong, or we didn't do anything right, or something's going on, the devil's really bad, and we begin to panic, and we say, oh, we need to repent from our evil ways, we need to repent, we need to turn away. And what's the focus become in that? The evil ways. If we haven't seen that in the last 3 months, I don't know what you're going to see. I agree with dealing with racism. I've dealt with it from the pulpit. We've talked about it. You have to deal with what's in your heart. We have to deal with sin, absolutely. But in the dealing with sin, we deal with it into the point of transformation where sin doesn't have to be dealt with anymore. And what we're doing is this. We're holding the culture of the world to the same standard that the church is held to. And the world is going to have a system that's dead. We should not be surprised that abortion and murder and all this other craziness is taking place in our society. Why? Because they're lost. They're dead. They're far away from them. The system that they operate in is only produces death. So what does that mean? Instead of saying, oh, I look at the evil ways of lost people and go, that's an indicator of how bad things are. Instead, what we need to do, no, I need to look at Jesus. What did you accomplish on the cross? Your standard now is the standard for society. So that means, how are you transforming me? And now, how do I become an agent of transformation in the society? Yes, my prayers matter. Cindy Jacobs released a prophetic word about Texas specifically, talking about how the Apostolic Prayer Network is specifically being used as a battle axe in the hands of the Lord to be able to come and cut down some of the mess that the enemy's built up, strongholds and lies and systems. And I absolutely believe that. But I was sharing with our launch team earlier this week, I believe that also this, that as the battle axe cuts down a stronghold, on the backswing should be the sickle of the harvest. I swing through to cut down a stronghold, but cutting down the stronghold's not the point. The establishment of the kingdom is the point. I think the reason we get frustrated many times as believers is we get so sin-focused that, oh, I've got this bad behavior, this bad thought, this bad thing, this generational curse. Oh, I just need to cut that thing down. Yes, but then plant and establish the root of righteousness, which is the kingdom. And too much of our discipleship or even our deliverance has been, let's just cut that thing down. And then we don't teach you how to build up the kingdom inside of you. It's so important. What's the point of reading the word? Looking in a mirror, I see Him, and then I find out who I am.
Come on.
What's the point of worship? I get into His presence face to face. Nobody else matters but Him. Why? So I can look at Him, I can behold Him, and then I'm transformed into that same image. Then that point of transformation is now as I enter into the streets, as I enter into schools, as I enter into places of business, or if you're called to a governmental mountain or education mountain. I just want to say this, teachers, I understand that there's a lot of fear that's going on about going back to school because of how much fear has been propagated over the last 6 months. And some of it is legit and real. When you talk about people who have predisposed, you know, conditions and stuff like that, it's a dangerous thing. Absolutely, I get that. But what I want to tell you is this. If you would begin to realize the point of encounter is for transformation, and in transformation, you actually begin to carry his image, and he's not sick. That's not saying you'll never get sick. But here's the thing. Don't worry about tomorrow is what Jesus says in Matthew. Tomorrow's got enough worries of its own, or today's got enough worries of its own. Deal with today where you're at. Be present where you're at now. Don't worry about things you can't control, but what do you control? I'm going to get into the presence. I'm going to repent. I'm going to think differently afterwards. Lord, what are you wanting me to do as I enter back into the school system? How are you calling me to be a powerful demonstration of the kingdom? I just want to say this. I've been out to some of the protests. I've been out there to minister to get eyes on the ground, to see what's happening. And I believe that. We've got some of our amazing ladies that went up to Austin and were participating in prayer walking. We need to do this. That's a valid part of the ministry. But let me tell you this. The greatest ministry you're going to have is you be transformed and continuing to transform your children, sharing the gospel, right? Your family unit, wherever you're at. Continue to minister at home. Continue to make your home a place of the presence of God. Continue to talk with your kids about repentance and what it means. And repentance can't be, you did that bad thing, you better shape up. You need to repent instead of going, hey, that's not who you are. Let me tell you how to think like God thinks. Let me show you how to think like God thinks. That's discipleship. The point of repentance is transformation so that we can what? Transform the world. So often, I think God, we're waiting for God to come back. And God's going, no, I'm waiting for you to actually be transformed. I'm waiting for you to receive the message of transformation. I don't even know if I'm going to get to the Bible. We probably will. I'm just kind of downloading what's on my heart here. Because I think that if we're going to be an answer for the problems of the world, we have to challenge the way we think internally, right? And it has to go beyond sin. Let me hear you say, it has to go beyond sin. If repentance is only about sin, that means you need to sin in order to repent. If repentance is about sin, that means you have to sin in order to repent. Except for, it says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind in a continual basis. It says nothing about sin. Look, in fact, and I know he told you to go to those other scriptures. Go to Romans chapter 12 real quick. This is important. Romans chapter 12. We'll just pick up verse 1. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Notice he's not emphasizing sin in that. If you're so screwed up, if you're thinking so badly, if you're behaving so badly, you need to repent. No, he's dealing with the fact you should have already been at that place when you got born again, right? What we don't teach people is how to live saved. We tell them how to get saved, but we don't necessarily tell them how to live saved, saved, healed, and set free. What does that look like? And what this is saying is the sin is not the needed element in order for you to repent. Be continually renewing your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, let me ask this question. It should be a very easy answer. Everyone should pass this quiz. Does anybody look like Jesus perfectly right now? So that means that you're, I know, I hear you, Sonny. That means that you are in the process of being transformed into his image. Your experience, the way you think, the way you live, is an ongoing process. Embrace it. Embrace it. Stop looking at sin as the reason you have to repent and start looking at, oh my gosh, there's more to God than I thought. He's got better thoughts than I think I have. Man, I need to repent. Not because it's bad, not because I'm lacking, but because there's more of him. I'm coming into an expression of his image. How many times does Paul and throughout the rest of the letter say, be joyful, be thankful, be grateful? Let me tell you what, you can't be joyful or thankful if you're sin conscious.
That's right.
Because sin is a drag, bro. Like, it really is.
It is.
And it's not that sin's not, hear what I'm saying. If somebody's legitimately in the behavior pattern of sin, they need to repent and be transformed to be born again. Absolutely true. That does not say, well, I can go do whatever I want to do. No, Paul dealt with that. Don't use your freedom as an excuse to keep on sinning. Why'd Paul have to say that? Guys, you're still not even in elementary school. You're dealing with preschool salvation. You're repenting from dead works. You're going back over and over and over and over the beginning, and God's going, by this point, you should be mature. Ready what? Teach others. Demonstrate to others. Repentance leads to transformation. Transformation is maturity. Maturity will actually bring the world a full presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The world is yearning for an authentic picture of who God really is. We can do that by encountering people, yes, but you can't become that until you become him. Read the word. You got to know the word. You got to memorize the word. You got to take in the word. I can't emphasize how important it is. You're like, well, what translation do I read? As long as it's a real translation, read it. It doesn't matter if it's New Living. It doesn't mean if it's New King, Amplified, Holman Christian, The Passion, Message. You know, read it. Get the word in you. Begin to think like he thinks. It's so incredibly important. Why? Matthew 28:18. Jesus came and told his disciples, I've been given all authority in heaven and earth. By the way, Cindy hit it this last week when she says, no, your authority. When you hear this, hear what Jesus actually gives you. I've been given all authority in heaven and earth. Therefore, go. When Jesus tells you to go, in the going, he's actually imparting to you authority. You have to know that you can go because you have his authority to go. And what? Make disciples of all the nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you, and be sure of this, I'm with you even to the end of the age. How many people know we're not to the end of the age? Why would he say, be of good cheer, take courage? Because there's going to be trials. The devil's going to throw a mess. Lost people are going to do dead things. We should not be surprised where we're at right now. But God works all things out for good. His good purposes. So instead of getting focused in on what's the virus doing, what's the government doing, what is God doing? I can promise you, if the focus of our prayers and our worship and our devotion to him was, what are you doing? Who are you and what are you doing? And God's going to go, do you know who, I think you said that last week, do you know who you are? Heaven's asking you, do you know really who you are? Because if you knew, Jesus is in you. Do you know who you are? And you know what the devil's going to do? He's going to test who you are. Because he tested Jesus. We'll see if the Son of God really, really knows who he is. Right? And what did Jesus do? He puts his foot down. He quotes some scripture. He says, no, I'm not bowing to you. Give me a break. And the devil, what? He resisted the devil. And the devil had to what? Flee. He demonstrates what James writes about. So if Jesus could be tested, do you think we're going to be tested?
Absolutely.
Of course we're going to be tested. The sign of the test is not the fact that you've fallen away. The sign of the test is that you're actually being matured.
Man, come on!
He's working all things out for your good because he has a good purpose. So we're called to go and teach these disciples. Another translation that says to observe. Observation. So here's the deal. It's not just knowing the rules, but do I observe the rules? Do I live it out? And we're not talking about the Ten Commandments. That's like 101 level, okay? We're talking about, do I observe how Jesus loved people well? Do I observe how Jesus had authority over the devil? Do I observe how Jesus was able to take every single thought captive in obedience to his Father?
Yes, Lord.
Do I understand that observation? This is what we're called to teach people. What I think we're asking people to do is we're saying the world needs to repent. And that's true. But what are we asking the world to repent into? If we're not looking like him, they're not going to repent into him. Okay? We have to be a demonstration of who he is. John 14, 15 says, If you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father. He will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He's the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him. So let me say this. In repentance leads to the reception of the Holy Spirit. The lost world, if they don't come into a place for repentance, won't actually be able to receive the Holy Spirit. That's what happens in the born-again experience. The Holy Spirit comes in and begins to transform them. My question is not what does the world need to do. Are we living transformed? Are we living underneath the obedience of the Holy Spirit who leads me into all truth? He says, the world can't receive him because it's not looking for him. It doesn't even recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now. Of course, this is pre the resurrection. And later he will be in you. You live in the later he will be in you. If you're on this side of the cross, he lives in you. No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. Soon the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Since I live, you will also live. When I'm raised to life again, you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. Because they love me, my Father will love them. I will love them and reveal myself to each of them. Look what it says in Galatians chapter 1, verse 11. Dear brothers and sisters, I want you to understand that the gospel message I preach is not based on mere human reasoning. Going back again, the transformation of the way you think. Look, it says, verse 12. I received my message from no human source. No one taught me. Instead, I received it by direct revelation from Jesus Christ. I want to tell you the greatest level of repentance is this. You recognize that Jesus is your source. Now, Paul right here is not saying you don't need to be taught, that you don't need anybody to teach you or be your father. That's not what he's saying. He's saying is, what's the source? So I would just say this. If I'm walking, Paul told Timothy, follow me as I follow Christ. Okay? If I'm following after Jesus and I'm teaching what is him, don't receive my human words. Okay? Receive it from him as the source. That's why you're called to receive and test the sources of what's going on. But he says, I've received my message from no human source. No one taught me. Instead, I received it by direct revelation from Jesus Christ. So what's the revelation that you have of Jesus Christ? My question for you is, what's the revelation that you have of Jesus Christ? 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Examine yourselves to see if your faith is genuine. Test yourselves. Surely you know that Jesus Christ is among you. If not, you have failed the test of genuine faith. So the point of repentance in this continuum is I need to continually test the thoughts that are there, not looking for the bad, but looking for the authentic and the true. But when he talks about this in the testing, it was talking about money, looking for counterfeit money, especially in that time frame they used coins. And so if it was an authentic coin, it would either be pure gold or pure silver. But then they also had these base metals that were worthless that people would try to pass counterfeits, and they would try to meld them together. But they had ways of testing. One of those ways was actually friction. It would actually take the coin and they would rub it, and if it began to rub off, they could tell that it was a counterfeit coin or a real coin. Another way they could do it was heat. It would actually bend. It would actually reveal what was underneath. So here's what I'm saying. When you go through trials many times, what the Lord is doing is don't look at it going, oh my gosh, something's wrong with me. No, he's wanting to reveal in you what is authentic and true. And he's also wanting to reveal to you things that are counterfeit. No mixture can be left within you. The point of transformation, repentance, is that there's no mixture left of the world's ways anymore. That's why I said in communion. A lot of times we take communion bread and we say, I'm going to take this part of Jesus, this part of Jesus, and this part of Jesus. And we discard the rest because we're not really ready to submit to the lordship of Jesus wholly. And what I'm telling you is when you do that, you can experience some benefit, but you're not going to experience transformation. And I'm going to say this, you might not even be saved. It's either take Jesus wholly or don't take him at all. That's what we're called into. Why do you think the world is so suspect of the body of Christ? Because there's been a lot of counterfeit in the body of Christ. And we think it's going to be signs and miracles that are going to be counterfeit. No, that's always a secondary fruit. The authentic, the first fruit of what's real or not is the relationship with Him. The revelation of, remember I said that previous verse in Galatians, what's your revelation of Jesus Christ? Paul said it. I received a revelation of who Jesus Christ is. Not just about Him, but in the direct encounter of who He is, brought Him into direct relationship. That's my test. Does it reveal the true Christ? If it doesn't reveal the true Christ, then I need to repent. I need to think differently afterwards. Now go ahead and open up the Acts chapter 19, and we're going to finish with this. It's all right, KJ. I'm going to say real quick. So this last week it was awesome. You mind if I share it real quick? We're down. I want him to share his testimony, but Speedway and Kelly came down at the beach to get baptized while we were down there. And here was cool though. KJ, how old is KJ? 2? 1. That's right. And so we're dedicating KJ in the water. So the water's running up here too. And just looking in the boy's eyes or whatever, you can tell that his parents, and this is the reason I'm bringing this up, you can tell that his parents have put him into a place of the presence of God in the home. Here's why I know. The moment we began to dedicate and pray and the Holy Spirit began to touch Speedway and Kelly, all of a sudden you saw KJ's eyes go, whoo! In their arms as we're praying. It was a beautiful thing. The Holy Spirit came on him. And the second I said amen, he goes, start looking around too. What's the point? That's the revelation of the real Christ. When you're encountering people in situations, we should be at such a place of peace that we can fall asleep even in the storm. Jesus slept in a storm. He wasn't worried about it. He had authority over the storm, but he slept in the storm because it had no part in him. And what I'm telling you is we need to stop responding to the storms of the world as if it's going to take us out. I'm telling you what right now, we need to vote, we need to stand, we need to do all those things. Absolutely true. But the first thing is this, the enemy cannot undo the plans of the Lord. Okay? Authority is found in him wholly. All right, let's look into Acts chapter 19. So while Apollos was in Corinth, Paul traveled throughout the interior regions until he reached Ephesus on the coast where he found several believers. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed, he asked them. No, they replied, we haven't heard that there was even a Holy Spirit. In other words, you can have a revelation of Jesus, but there's always more of him, is my point in this. Okay? Then what baptism did you experience, Paul asked. And they replied, the baptism of John, talking about John the Baptist. Paul said, John's baptism called for repentance from sin. Okay, so hear this. 101, first entry in the gate, repent. Why? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. There's a new reality that's coming at you. Repent from sin. But John himself told the people to believe in the one who had come after, meaning Jesus. What I'm telling you is there's more to Jesus after sin. There's more to Jesus after the repentance from sin. As soon as they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in other tongues, and they prophesied. It's kind of interesting. They didn't have any training. We believe in training. We believe in equipping in prophetic ministry. But notice that they had only received the baptism of John up to this point, and when the Holy Spirit came, they began to prophesy. Because look, God is pure, and God can do what he wants to do. Verse 7, there were about 12 men in all, which is significant because we're talking about 12 apostles. Now you have these other 12 that were outside of that. Verse 7, 8, then Paul went to the synagogue and preached boldly for the next 3 months, arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God. Notice he didn't argue persuasively about the repentance of sin. He's going to say there is a greater thing than the repentance of sin. It's the actually establishment of the kingdom of heaven. When you have a greater king, sin begins to be dealt with. When you have a revelation of who Jesus is, sin does not stand a chance. You're either going to run to Jesus or you're going to run away from him because your sin was greater than your love for him. And we're called to run into him. Verse 9. But some became stubborn, rejecting his message and publicly speaking against the way, talking about Christianity. So Paul left the synagogue and took the believers with him. Then he held daily discussions at the lecture hall of Tyrannus. Tyrannus was either very friendly with the believers. I'm not sure if he was a believer. But the point of here is it was a lecture hall because, remember, Ephesus is not a Jewish city. It's actually a Roman city. It was a Gentile city. Okay? And so they had these lecture halls where people come and they would philosophize and they would just talk and debate all day long. Paul would go, and we know this from church history, from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m., it was the hottest part of the day, and that's when Paul was preaching. But he had his greatest crowd. People came back. It was the normal, the hardest part of the day because all the philosophers would go away so he could preach. Look what happens here. This went on for the next 2 years so that people throughout the province of Asia, both Jews and Greeks, heard the word of the Lord. Now, let me ask you a question. Does it say that Paul traveled in those 2 years? No. He possibly did. My point is, he just says, he went to the hall of Tyrannus, and he began to teach anyone that came, both Jew and Gentile, preaching about the kingdom of heaven. And it says, and the fruit of what that was, the people in all the province of Asia began to hear the gospel. The point is it wasn't Paul who was preaching the gospel to the people in Asia. It was the people who were receiving the gospel of Jesus, repenting, beginning to come into his image, that then when began to go out from that place, and the gospel spread as it was actually being, as people were going wherever they needed to go. Okay? This is the time we live. We're going to be dispersed again back into the culture. You need to be ready. We're going to be dispersed again. Doesn't matter if there is a, the shot or any of that stuff. Doesn't really matter what medicine comes. The body of Christ is going to be dispersed back into the culture. We need to be dispersed. Otherwise, our culture doesn't stand a chance. Okay? Because the devil, as if you've noticed, all right, writers have no problem being able to gather. The church begins to gather, and there's a problem. Why? Because transformation is taking place. So the enemy is going to make sure that we can't go out there and preach. We need to be ready. I believe we're at a divine point. And you saw this even in California. John MacArthur's church was being told, if you continue to meet, we're going to fine you and throw you in the jail. They actually went to court, sued the state of California. And California, the court came back and says, nope, we're going to remove the injunction. The body of Christ can meet together in public no matter what the governor says in California. Okay, that was the first step. There's more to go. My point is this, okay? It's time for us to arise and shine. Okay? How that looks, we're still going to continue to pray that through for wisdom. But my point is this, are you ready to be dispersed back into the culture? School is 3 weeks away or 2 weeks away. I'm telling my kids all the time, are you ready? Ready or not, here you go. You're going to be back into the place where you actually have your greatest influence. Doesn't matter if you're wearing a face shield or mask or any of this stuff. It really doesn't matter. Are you going to demonstrate the love of Jesus where you go? Because as you just love people where they're at through the love of Christ, guess what's going to happen? People are going to be drawn to you because they're going to be drawn to him inside. So let's go here. Verse 10. This went on for the next 2 years. People throughout the province of Asia, both Jews and Greeks heard the word of the Lord. Verse 11, God gave Paul the power to perform unusual miracles. When handkerchiefs or aprons that had merely touched his skin were placed on sick people, they were healed of their diseases and evil spirits were expelled. Let me ask you a question. Is Paul more important than you? No. Paul would tell you that I'm the chief of sin. I'm the least. So my point is this. It's a heart that's surrendered when the kingdom comes. When the culture needs an unusual miracle, okay, are you ready to become an unusual miracle? We focus so much on doing miracles, and I'm okay with that. But here's the greater miracle. Can you become the miracle? Can you become an unusual miracle that when you walk into your office and people are freaked out, and they look at you and go, why are you not freaked out like the rest of us? It's an unusual miracle. Right? Because everything in culture has been telling them to be afraid. And you're like, I ain't afraid. I know the one who created me. Right? To live is Christ, to die is gain. I've got nothing to lose and everything to gain in him because I've already gained it in him. So be ready to be an unusual miracle. Let me finish this. verse 13. A group of Jews was traveling from town to town, casting out evil spirits. In other translations, say vagabond. It was basically, they were going from place to place, trying to figure out what they could do to make their own way. Okay, they tried to use the name of the Lord Jesus in their incantation, saying, "I command you in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, to come out." Seven sons of Sceva, a leading priest, were doing this. But one time when they tried it, the evil spirit replied, "I know Jesus, I know Paul, but who are you?" The devil's going to ask you, "Who are you?" And you better be ready to have an answer for the hope that lies within you and say, "I am a son, I am a daughter of the risen Christ." But look what it says, verse 16. The man with the evil spirit leapt on them, overpowered them, and attacked them with such violence that they fled from the house naked and battered. And here's the thing. Yeah, they were naked. That's kind of crazy. Stripped away every amount of false authority they had. Think about this. Even the authority that they fought. So I'm just telling you right now, when it appears that the devil has authority, okay, when it appears that this disease has authority, when it appears that the government and whatever has authority, what I'm telling you is you come from a superior kingdom. And when you encounter them and they go, "I know Paul, I know Jesus, oh, I know who you are," they're going to back up. They have to. We have to be able to enter back into it. Here's the other thing. Family is needed. This is a group of people that went from town to town who really never had a place to call home. Understand this. So it's not just going to be the itinerant ministries that are kind of go from place to place. Community is necessary. Being a part of family is necessary. Having spiritual fathers and mothers that are pouring into you is absolutely necessary. So as you come here to be filled out, you go equipped and empowered to actually be an unusual miracle in the world wherever you go. And look what it says in verse 17. Remember, God works all things out for good. Amen. Okay, so look at verse 17. The story of what happened to the guys who were calling, who got beat up and were naked. Okay? The story of that spread quickly throughout Ephesus to Jews and Greeks alike. A solemn fear descended on the city, and the name of the Lord Jesus was greatly honored. Okay? Many who became believers confessed their sinful practices. A number of them who had been practicing sorcery brought their incantation books, burned them at a public bonfire. The value of the books was several million dollars. So the message about the Lord spread widely and had a powerful effect. What's my point? I think we're in a time or season where it's time for us to become an unusual miracle, that the plans of the enemy are going to be shown to be fruitless. And people are going to, and here's a, it's going to be exposed to be naked for what it is. Do you understand what's going on? Everything that can be shaken will be shaken. The plans of the enemy, the false authority the enemy has, is going to be exposed to be naked, and it's going to be escorted out of the town. The sons of Sceva were escorted out of the town, battered and naked. In the same way, I believe that as the body of Christ, you begin to repent towards the point of transformation, you begin to realize that you're a son or a daughter, the authority that you have, you're going to go back into a place that you previously didn't feel like you had authority, but now you have authority, and as the enemy comes to contend with you, you're going to be able to resist the devil. He's going to flee naked and battered.
That's right.
Did you hear what I said? He's going to flee naked and battered. But if you come into a spirit of fear, you will go away naked and battered. So why do you have to be afraid? Nothing to be afraid of, except for the awe and the fear of the Lord. Notice what the result was. The name of Jesus was greatly honored in the city, and a fear, a holy fear, came upon the city. And I'm just saying, get ready, New Braunfels. Austin, I understand what just happened with the police department. Be ready, because a holy fear is about to come upon the city of Austin, because there's believers that are kingdom citizens that have been standing the ground for a long time in that city. So don't look at what the enemy's succeeding and go, "Oh my gosh, the devil's going to succeed." No, he's not. He's being exposed. And the enemy's going to go out, and the city of Austin, which includes this corridor, is going to come underneath a level of holy fear and all of who he is, so that the name of Jesus is glorified and you can become an unusual miracle where people become believers. It's the battle axe that comes through, but on the follow-through, it becomes a sickle of harvest in the hands of people. Why don't you stand up with me? So here's what I want you to do. I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to ask this question. Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me personally today? If you hear a voice of condemnation, that's just the devil. But you may hear a voice, a conviction that says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Change the way you think. There's a greater authority, a greater kingdom, a greater government, a greater reality that's in your grasp. Right now. If there's any area of sin that you need to deal with it now. Say, I repent of that. I put that on the cross. It's dead. It's buried. I declare the blood of Jesus is enough over it. But he may be saying this. You've dealt with your sin. Now it's time to grow into maturity. It's time to continually repent. So Lord Jesus, let your thoughts be our thoughts. Let your mind be our mind. Let what you believe to be true be our belief system. I pray right now for a baptism of your Holy Spirit to fill every person right now. Change what we're conscious of so that what we're conscious of is only your kingdom come and your will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. Lord, let our subconscious mind, those things that have been hidden down deep, be exposed right now so that only your kingdom come and your will be done on the earth as it is in heaven would be prevalent within our brain now. Transform us spirit, soul, and body. I pray today, Lord God, that we would become an unusual miracle in a world that is full of fear, full of disease, full of bickering and fighting. But instead, as we go out, that we would just have a grace, just a grace to demonstrate your good news wherever it needs to be demonstrated. So that as we cut down the strongholds of the enemy with the battle axe, that on the backswing, it becomes a harvesting sickle in our hands, Lord God, that those who are predestined to know you would come fully into the kingdom identity now, in Jesus' name. And we just ask this and give praise and joy, all God's people said. Amen, amen.
Thank you so much for joining us as we seek first after God's kingdom and release it to transform lives and cities. If you would like more information about how to grow in the kingdom or connect with Legacy, go to our website, www.legacynb.com.